Good afternoon or good evening. So we're holding here in middle of the Agadatas about Klal Yisrael's Avoda Mitzrayim. So the piece in the Agadata is Lamed Gimel, and we're towards the end of it. So it says, we spoke about piece of Ramses that it kept falling apart. Then it says, "Vayakutzim ibnei bnei Yisrael melamed sheyadoyim beinim kekoitzim," that they looked at Klal Yisrael like koitzim. The koitzim are thorns. So let's take a look. So it's a little bit of a anytime you don't particularly care for somebody, it's annoying to you. That's so okay. You don't like him, but what's the mashal of koitzim? So the maral says, "Pirish ki hoye mitzrayim hefach liyisrael, ulefika kasher yisol misrabim hoy beinem ke koitzim, lefi sheoz ayitzin lefor liyos nimtzoyim shle musam, ulefika oz nase ke koitzim beinehem." So I think what he means is, the marshal of koitzim, the dogma of koitzim, is that whenever you have a plant that has thorns in it, the point of the thorn is to keep the other away. In other words, when you want to avoid contact, a koitz is not an aggressive weapon. It's not like poison of a snake. It's not like the paws of an animal. A koitz is something that does not allow things to get together. I actually once read a very interesting study. They one of the problems on phone wires, electric wires, is when that there's a certain level of friction one against the other, and that sort of wears it down and then creates short circuits. So the thought was always to make them as smooth as possible to minimize the friction. And then somebody came up with the following idea, that the more surface area you have together, the more friction there will be. So what they did was they made it actually very pitted so that it doesn't allow much contact between the two. And, you know, there's like a lot of little tiny grains of like sand grains on top of it. It's very rough. Because it's very rough, it doesn't allow any type of contact. So you minimize the contact, there's not that much friction. So al kopanim, vayakutsu means when you just don't want the other person. In other words, if you have a specific reason, you don't want it for reason A, B, C, you want their money, you want, you're afraid of them as enemies, that's not vayakutsu. And even in common language, you know, katsti b'chaye, it simply means something that I cannot be with. I do not wish to be with. It's not that I feel the person is a particular danger in any way or anything like that. It's just that his existence and my existence are not compatible. So what a koitz does is it doesn't allow a threatening thing to come close to it. Vayakutsu means naskoitzu b'nei, means there wasn't anything that they felt be'emes there would be a danger, just didn't tolerate that.
Why in the eye?
The eye is the aver that's toifis the other person's mitzias. For instance, let's give an example. If somebody who's a threat to me is sitting in my room, whether I see him or don't see him, in either case, the it's still a danger, and it would be nice to get rid of him. Let's say I don't see the person. So let's say it's a person that he's not a danger, but somebody I just don't tolerate. So if I don't see him, then what's the problem? You know, like what do you say? What you don't know can't hurt you type of thing. Sometimes there's food that is poisonous for you. So if you know or you don't know what you eat, it's going to give you the same stomach ache. But there's sometimes something you find yucky. If you don't know that it's there, or you don't know if it's on the floor, whatever it is, it doesn't bother you. So koitz by name is the exact type of hagdara of something which you find just intolerable. And that was what Mitzrayim, they didn't have a real reason why they would be afraid of them, even though they claimed to be, and that's why it's Ve'yakutsa b'neihem. The Maral says, Mitzrayim hefach l'Yisrael, their very essence was the opposite. So a nation, let's take an example, a nation that is a person who is very coarse, very material, very megushim. When he sees a person who's a big tzaddik and kind of a nerdy person, so there is a sort of a subtle threat to his existence, but tachlis, he just doesn't like that type of person, doesn't want him around. And therefore, because Klal Yisrael's metzias was hefer, that's why they reacted that way. Okay, next piece, it says in the Chazal, Vayavidu Yisrael Befarech, so you have one says beferach, and one says befricha. We spoke a little bit, I think, about it last time, about the machlifin, melech slashim and lashim, and so on. So the Maral says, by Yavidu Mitzrayim says all beferach, Rabbi Lazar says beferach, Epshonat Minim and beficha. Nira. So what prompted Rabbi Lazar to dash in beferach? Ki huksha Rabbi Lazar, the e pircha kemashmo, if it means just hard work. Zekas vacharka, kalavazah shavadis on beferach. It says it. You know, it's farach, then it says all the avayda kashas avadim beferach. It's really redundant. Elakosu balema beferach. Now the Maral explains what Chazal meant with this agarata. You know, this is more like in the pshat of the agarata. The aim pirush akosu beferach rak beferach mashmo. It doesn't mean that they're substituting a different meaning for perach. Elakishnei inyani beferach heim. What Chazal meant to say is there's a remez for another dimension, which is this ferach. Kikasha mavid midabi moedvarim rakim. Umitoich krach, umachrui ala shibud, zegam kineker beferach. Shavoyde koshim oid, rakshim ekoyach dvarim rakim. So therefore, the ferach over here means both of them. It's hard work, but it's also beferach. Achakri pas yashay noise by mars chayim bavoyde koshim goyim ashe mishablis mekoyshe dvarim rakim. And so on. I want to add another piece. Maral is not saying it, but I'd like to add this upshot. It could be also that the ferach, meaning the ferach, in itself has a knech of avodas parach. There's something. Let's say a person makes a business investment, and it's not matzliach. So, person feels bad about it. Imagine someone talked him into it, kind of a person fooled him into something, and then it turned out to be a scam. So, a person has a double agus nefesh. In other words, when we spoke about ferach, I think last time, about men doing women's work, women doing men's work, it's not so much that it's hard work as much as it's not the type of work that gives me any emotional satisfaction. And doing something that has there's a hardship that's physical, and that's one problem. There's a hardship that's emotional, and that compounds it. So if a person did something, it didn't work out, it's an agmas nefesh. If a person was duped into something, the person has tremendous, tremendous agmas nefesh from it. And therefore, the beforech of perach actually amplifies that perach. There's a story, there was a meshulach that came to Brisk and he spent a few weeks collecting money. And then last Shabbos, he went to the mikveh, and there were two con men in the mikveh, and one of them says, as he walks by, one of them tells the other person, he laughs, and he said, "Did you ever see such a hunchback?" And the guy says, "Well, he's trying to hide it, but he's what a hunchback." And he turned around very insulted, "I'm not a hunchback." I said, "Of course you are not." Then they told him, "We'll bet you, if you take off your clothing, we'll see in a second that if you're a hunchback or not, whatever it is." He did it, and then they said, "You're right, and you know we owe you $100, whatever it is." And then he found that they had stolen, you know, when he had taken off his coat, whatever it is, they had stolen the money. And he was very, very upset. And you know, the 3 weeks worth of collecting and snap, he came to Reb Chaim Brisk and he poured his heart out. So Reb Chaim was an extremely kind person. He said, you know what? I'll tell me how much money you lost. I'll get the money and so on. So the person felt a little bit sheepish that he had troubled, you know, Reb Chaim and this and that. So I told Reb Chaim, I'll tell the Rav the truth. It's not even the money that makes such a difference to me. It's the being made a fool. So Reb Chaim smiled and he said, Imishim ha, he said, there are plenty of other Nitzrachim in Brisk and I'd be happy to keep the money in Brisk. What I'll do is I'll issue a certificate from the Bezdin in Brisk that you're no fool, that you're a chacham. Al kapanim, there's an expression on that in Yiddish, a nag mit hatzettel, a fool with a note. In other words, he has a certificate of, but al kapanim, being fooled into something is a, and so when Klal Yisrael bought into this perach thing, and they want to be good citizens, and even paros working v'chulu v'chulu, it was it's one of the elements of the tragedy of the Jews in communist Russia. You know, the Nazis just came straight, lahashmid al-harav. They never made any. It was a very clear intent. Communist Russia, I mean, people bought into it big, big, big time, and they swallowed hook, line, sinker. And then they were destroyed. And there's a certain particular agmas nefesh to that. Person bought into a movement, the ideals resonated with him, he believed in it, and then it wasn't. I mean, many Russians struggled with that. Many communists who ended up being killed struggled with their emunah shleima and you know, it was impossible for them to keep their sanity and come to grips with the fact that they had been taken for the biggest ride, that their whole life was a bet on something that was bet, some a sheker bet. Okay, next piece. Amar Rav. So Rav says, "Bitchila bechaymer." Says by Mar. Eshulach meini Amar befrich. By Mar is chaym b'avoyde kasha b'chaym veinu chavoyde kasha. Amar Rav. Bitchila chaym el veinim. Then bekol avoyde besada. And as kol avoydosan shavdom befarach. So, which he says is machlifin leches anoshim lenoshim. So the morale speaks over here. Pirish, kishloisha merirus chayim hoyalehem. They had three merirus chayim. Ha'echad avoda kosher b'chayim levenim, who can get chay other pashis boyer. Va'achak kach leshabroisim besode, v'zeim fne atzmoi. Kimashu bebeis avkush oisa avoda kosher b'meshu bebeis u'noachlo. Ve'ilu mashe shivdu behem shloi b'makum shloi mudav she'enim urgul. V'zeim merirus chayim yoisa. So he says the three avoda kashas were building, the sada, and then about being machlif the in the bias the isha and the was isha and so on. Because so he says. The kasha taskel ma'oid bechachma timotze kol davim el advarim emnitim adorim gil ma'amukim. Each one of these three things is telling something very, very deep. Vashibud mitzad echot, shesham ashibu chayim levenim, o kneged hazayin hoi meshabnim kol avayda besada, o kneged hem tsoy ma'athif melech asnosha anosha 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 vavayin zeh. So it's very, very cryptic remarks over here, and he leaves it like that. In Gvuras Hashem, in general, the morale in Chiddush HaGadus rarely is different than his forum who speak about the same Agarata. Ad Kedikachan Reb Sol Olya once told me that he thinks the Chiddush HaGadus is just somebody collected it from the forum. I don't know. But Al Kapanim, he speaks a little bit about it in Gvuras Hashem. And he says again, he finishes it, he says, V'kashe taskum oid b'chachma, t'imotze kol dovem el dvarim imnitim edvarim doylem oid v'amukim. It's all telling very big things. Actually, after the fire sheysa. Now, the Gevuras Hashem, there's a ksav yad that was put out by Eshel Publications. And it has in it, and it has the Maral's first version of Gvuras Hashem. And in it, he writes, erases, crosses out, redoes. It's really amazing. You see his first draft being rewritten. Over there, he has a whole hezba. I'll say it over betamtzis. He says the three things are. He says the mitzrim recognized that Klal Yisrael's schus was on the three avos. And therefore, they're connected to three others. Now, one would have assumed, I mean, the Chazal do speak about Loike Avram Shnikar Har, Loike Yitzhak Shnikar Soda, Loike Yaakov, Ela Yaakov Shnikar Bayis. So, in a sense, the Avram being the Har, which are the tall buildings, the pyramids, and so on, Yitzchak being the Soda, and Yaakov being the Bayis. It sort of fits reasonably well. He doesn't say it quite that way. He says like this. Avram, it says, Mipnei she'Avram hayo roish binyan ha'olam. Avram was the one who started building the world. So it's the act of building. He doesn't refer to it as a har and doesn't seem to give it that context. And then he brings a gematria of a chaymer's gematria Avram. Then he says, as kol avodah b'sodeh is Yitzchak, shenem b'Yitzchak v'elech Yitzchak l'suach b'sodeh. And they wanted to be meshabed klal Yisrael the midah of Yitzchak, which is sodeh. As kol she'avdom b'forech, and at the end it says, So he goes on a different track. He speaks about binyan, he speaks about soda, he speaks about ruach. So I would like to understand. I don't think he means what he talks about always in terms of har. I think it means something else. I try to explain what I think he means. The input of Avodas Adam in this world is on three levels. A person takes what exists in this world and puts it together in different ways that make it much more sophisticated, usable, and so on. Your classical, the seven classical machines, quote unquote, of physics, you know, the screw, a lever, etc. You're basically taking things that exist, and all you're doing is you are rearranging it. You're adding work to rearrange it, and to make it something that is useful and put together. That mahalach is always the first. In other words, the first step in changing the world, in bringing out potential in the world, the first madrega of bringing out potential is to take things that exist and put them together in a way that work better. As part of Avodas Adam, when we talk about Adam's Avoda to do things in this world, this is the primary way of doing it. So Avram Avinu, who was first, the first thing he did was he looked around at the world, and by looking at all the pieces synchronized, the Shemesh, the Levana, and the Galgalim, and everything, how it works, he came up with Emunah. So that is the first Yisoid, that's the Yisoid of Ruchnius, one level of ruchnius. A second level is a person takes a plant and plants it. So what happens is the person activates an internal mechanism that is dynamic on its own. In other words, I put in X amount of energy in planting this in the ground. So when I build something, the amount of energy I put in is what comes out, just rearranged. So I put in X amount of hours moving block on a block. So that's what I have. When I plan something, so the energy I put in was X, it starts an internal process in the tree that is much, much bigger than the effort I put in. And that now, that process is something that keeps going on its own. It's internal within the tree, the plant, and it was activated by me putting it. That's a second diagram. So Adam, in this world, puts down things, and he those things begin to there's a steady internal flux of exchange of materials, etc., etc., etc. That's a second diagram. There's a third type of object in this world, and that is something that has a hashra of ruach on it. For instance, the brain and the mind. Without a brain, there's no mind, but the mind is not explained by the internal workings of the neurons. The neurons are a base for it, but it's more than that. A guf and a neshama. There is nothing in a guf. Without a guf, there's no neshama in the world. But the guf itself contains nothing inside it, mitzaratzma, that would ever produce a neshama. So the third darga is, I provide a kli that then produces something that is above it. It serves as a platform for something that's above it. What we would call hashra'as hashchina. It means the kli is there as a means for it. If I could find some vague tsushta, like a catalyst in a chemical reaction. The catalyst itself never gets used up. The catalyst itself is not in the process, but it provides a hitimtza for the process to happen. So the third darga of ruchnius is where a person does things and they become a hechetimtza for something on top of it. A little bit like the Mesillas Yesharim when he speaks about Kedusha. He says a person is mekadosh himself a little bit here, and mekadosh himself harbe milamalo. In other words, the main point in Kedusha is that you produce a platform, and that platform contains Kedusha coming from somewhere else, not because you've activated something internally, but because that's the way it works. There's a ruach that comes into it that's different. I have a tzushtal for it. The by Yecheskel. In Yecheskel, it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him to the valley, and he asked him Atichyena Atzamaseilu, and he says Atu Yadata. So it says the bones came together. I think Vayilokto Etzem Al Etzem. I think it's the Lashon. The bones started coming together, and the putting together the bones in the skeleton is an act of binyan. Vayiven Asatzela. It's you take the bones that are scattered and you snap them into place. Then it says Vayikrimu Gidin V'or. It grew a or and a Gidin. And that is the way it says in the Pasuk. That's sort of they didn't exist before, but somehow they grew out from those atzamos. And then it says the Kadosh Baruch Hu blew a ruach into them. So you have the binyan is the first stage, and that is the atzamos. The second stage we would call it tzmicha, where it's the or and the gidin coming out from that core bone and covering the body, and the body taking on the flesh to bone is a tzmicha. You can take a cell from the bone, fiddle with it, and you'll get gidin and or and basa. And finally, the ruach, the body is a means for it, but that's not what it is in itself. So you have the same three layers of binyan. And then you have Zuriya, which is that process of Tzmicha. Then you have Ruach, which is the difference between Balachayim, the Klal Yusam, Someach, In other words, a Baal Chaim, we somehow see the Ruach as being something outside of itself. A Tzameach, we see it an internal process locked in that's happening all the time. I was thinking, I guess, a little bit apropos to Hanukkah. Next week, I'm not going to be away. You know, it's very interesting. You have in the Beis Hamikdash, there's the Binyan Beis Hamikdash. Binyan Bayis is the first mitzvah about the Bayis is called Binyan. And basically, it's taking different elements and putting them together, rearranging them. So you take Zov and Kesef and so on. And for that, you have the Chachmei Lev, and they put it together, and that's one. The next step is Avoida. And the Avoida is a process, but you have many phenomena associated with Avoida that, you know, if you in Yom Kippur, when we speak in Yom Kippur, when we say when we do the Avoida, afterwards, it says that, you know, when the Beis was standing, the rain would now be blessed, and everybody would go home joyful, and the crops would come, and v'chulu. These were sort of, let's call them a quasi-natural, it's a process. In other words, Avoda is called Lechem Yishai, it's you doing the Avoda, that's the input, and out comes all sorts of different wonderful things. The third chelik is called Hashoras Hashchina, and that is distinct. You see, when they were mechanech the Mishkan, they built the Mishkan, they did the Avoida, but there was no Hashoras Hashchina. And the Hashoras Hashchina was an Eish that came down and it ate everything. So we have clearly, the Mishkan was built to specs. I mean, that's what it says. It's Yom Hukam Mishkan, everything was perfect. The Avoda went on, and they were makir for 7 days, and all the Avoda was done perfectly. There was no issue with that. And still, the third piece was in place. And Hashoras Hashchina is the core of what it's supposed to bring to, until Moshe Rabbeinu went around and he said, you know, Yirotzeh Shish Hashchina Masideichem, this is what happened. Of the Chelkei HaMishkan and Beis HaMikdash, if we ask ourselves what is the Chelek that is connected to that, so what it says in Gemara is that the Menorah is Eidus Hu L'chol B'Olam that Kadosh Baruch Hu that the Shechinah Shoyin Yisrael. The Achilas Karbonis, even though the Eish was Min HaShemayim, but that Eish really was an Eish that it just didn't stop. One did not see a new Eish. One did not see it anywhere else either. It kept going. It didn't shine out in any way. And B'meila, it didn't give off the sense of Hashoras Hashchina. The aura of the Menorah, the nays that he with this one he would start and would finish with the Nemaravi. So the atzmius of that point was a gilui that even though the Eish needs the Shemin, it's not tied to it. And therefore, if it's not tied to it, then we see that's a very different phenomena. It's not bringing out something from within the oil. It's the oil being a platform for something else, the way a guf is a platform for neshama. You know, we're sometimes amazed, sometimes we gauge people's strength on certain physical, you know, the person's X tall, the amount of muscles, the weight, and so on. A person when he's under tremendous stress, exuberance, or whatever it is, he displays certain kohos that we don't imagine to be inside. It's almost as if Ruach Yishech Al Kelenu, we feel that it's a spirit carrying him. And you know, so the Menorah was the place where Hashoras Hashchina was brought into this world. Everything else, all the other Nisim, were sort of hidden. They sort of, you know, nobody ever got the apostle. All the other Nisim were more in the absence of something rather than a clear thing. So al kaponim, of the inyanim that were so when the Yevonim were players of Beis Hamikdash, they made pirtzis, they were kalkim, etami, everything. So the restoration of the binyan itself and being guided the process was nice. Restoring avoida was good, but the nekuda, that third nekuda of Ashuras Hashchina, was the place where it should have revealed itself and did reveal itself was in the menorah, because that's be'etzim where is that type of makom. And if you think about it a little bit, the Yevonim and Klal Yisrael, they actually were. This was the point of contention. But let's think a little bit about it. When you're dealing with really crass Umas Olam, the Persian drinkers, so they believe only this physical, and everything physical is basically just, you know, as it is. Eat the meat, drink the wine, and so on. The Yevonim were intelligent people, and they saw in bringing out human chachma, in developing chachma and so on, something very noble, and developing anything. And, you know, anytime you brought out the best in a human body, the best in this, developing what's inside was very much on their radar screen, and they were, that's what, in that sense, they were way ahead of the pagans and so on, because they had a sense that there's a lot to be brought out from inside. What they hotly disputed was that there could be anything more than that. There is nothing more than what is. So there is no such thing as beyond where we are. It's everything is within, not beyond. And that, you know, on a certain subconscious level, was the point of contention. It's the same way. When you speak to a very fine, intelligent, secular person, he will not debate the fact that a person who controls his taivis is a nobler person. A person who thinks and ponders the world is nobler. A person, a man of spirit, all of that, a very fine person would go along with it, and that would be fine. But the idea that you're tapping into something beyond is absolutely not. The Ish HaEmuna believes that the ultimate is when we become a mahalach for something else. The Rambam, when he writes about Ruach HaKodesh, so Ruach HaKodesh is not a divine message, a voice, but he says a person understands in a way that he recognizes is not his understanding. In other words, his mind has enlarged itself beyond capacity, and he recognizes that. And he recognizes that he's a different person. That's basically how the Rambam types Ruach HaKodesh. It's something where the person is teufis, that he has more than it is there, and more than is just bringing out what's internally there. It's something where the person becomes a kli for something above him, a kli for something beyond him. Okay, any questions, any points, anything?
Just back to the mitzvah.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like that the reason they couldn't stand them, because it was, it's the same thing, but it's a hefech of Tzurus Adam. Their Tzurus Adam was a hefech of this one. And then the next one also is that they tried to break down all the halakim of the person.
Yes.
That's how they attacked it.
Correct.
That be what he means, the Maharal, or not?
I'm sorry?
Can that be what he means in his
Yes, he says they deliberately tried to crush. You know, they said these are three areas, and that they stand out in, and we need to get at each one of these areas. If we want to crush them as a people, so that we no longer see them as people, and feel that their existence interferes our existence, we need to go to all three of them. I think that's what Maral means. He means all three, in all three areas, we want to put them down, but we want to put them down with the Nakuda that specific to it. Correct. Yes. Yes.
I didn't catch, why was the menorah the source of Asrasa Shechina more than the Mizbeach?
Because on the menorah, it says, it says Eidus Yilchol by Olam. What's the Eidus? That the lamp, the ner that you started with finishes, which means that the fire that's on that ner is coming from somewhere else. It's not coming from within, because all the oils are the same, and each oil is supposed to last the equivalent. So one cupful of oil equals one cupful of oil equals one cupful of oil. So there's no way in the world that you could start with one and finish with one, because oil only has X amount of energy within it to burn. If the fire is simply the internal energy coming out, then that is an impossible. The fact that the Ner Maravi lasted more and it shone out to the world established the fact that the Ner, that there is something more. The Beis HaMikdash is a kli for something more than just what's in it. The ability to it's almost identical. The ability to produce more for the same effort tells me it's coming from someplace else. But let's take a simple example. You have five people that have a grocery store, and your average intake for grocery store is $50,000 a year, and one of them is getting $500,000 a year out of it. He's obviously also running some sort of operation over there. Something's going on there. Where's it coming from? A grocery store maxes out at $50,000, and this person has $500,000 coming out of a grocery store. So about Korchuk, the money's coming from someplace other than the groceries that he's selling. If the internal energy that Shemin possesses is equivalent, Shemin is Shemin is Shemin, and yet constantly this Aish constantly is making a statement. It's an Aish that comes from somewhere else. It needs oil. As soon as the oil goes out, there is no Aish. This Aish doesn't float on empty air. But it's just like the neshama on the guf. You can, you know, without a guf, there's no neshama. But you can have as much meat as you want. There's not going to be a neshama in that meat, because a neshama comes from somewhere else. It's using it. But, and that's what Asrasa Shechina is. Asrasa Shechina means, within the context of A, you have Shechina, which is infinite, but it's within the context of A, and that's why it's a huge step, you know, towards understanding of Likus. It's the furthest we can get. We don't grasp HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shechina is something we can deal with, because it's within a framework that we can, that's tangible, but its Teichin is beyond it.
Can I ask a mundane question?
A mundane question.
Yeah, sort of. You read the Maral about you read it like this. Where is it? Echad u'ashibud mitzad echad sheshom ashibud b'chor mil b'vainim u'keneged ha-zayin, you read. And yes. He says u'keneged ze. Is that a mistake? I have this Maral. Is this?
So I don't have that. You have to finish the question. It could be that you're right. I don't know. I have the older edition than you have. Yeah.
But you don't attribute any meaning to it, Hazayin. Well, what it could possibly mean.
I was wondering. I don't know. I didn't know if he means Zion spheres. It's hard to believe, because it doesn't make any sense. It could make sense in context. I my gut feeling is that you're probably more correct. But the edition of the Chiddush HaGadol I have is the old edition. Yours is new.
They obviously changed it. I want to know if they're a bunch of bucks or they.
Listen,
if I could rely on that change.
What you're saying, I have no idea. What you're saying makes more sense. My question is, did they have the manuscript and just corrected a typo? Did they do it miseichel and svara and just decide it's a much more simpler reading? I don't know. I don't know who did it. I have no idea.
Okay.